Today's show is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Now, right now, you can go to Cufflinks.com and use code DESIGNER25 to save 25% off designers like Constantino, Jean Leslie, Dune Jewelry, all types of stuff. Amazing quality, really wearable art. So check that out. And coming up on the 15th of August to the 20th, it's a 30% off Disney sale. So I'm giving you a little preview. Use code Disney30 from August 15th to the 20th to save 30% off Disney. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. Welcome back to Daily DVR. It's Friday, August 9th. And I've got a little special treat for you today. I was on Shonky Lab with Elton and Lee, two gentlemen from across the pond. And we just had a rollicking, fun, kind of off-the-cuff conversation about jobs and jobs and films and film jobs. And it was a lot of fun. And you can check out Elton at Rogue 2 Media. And you can also download and subscribe to Shonky Lab. I've been listening to Elton and known him for a real long time, going back to the Lost days. He's great. And Lee and Elton were on the Black Dog podcast, which you should download as well. So this was a lot of fun, a little something different. We didn't have a specific topic, really. We just kind of talked and we had a good time. So I hope you enjoy it. And please download and subscribe to both Elton and Lee. Check it out.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Shonky Lab. I'm Elton, and I'm joined by two guest producers. We have Mr. Lee Metcalf.
Hello.
And Mr. Axel Foley.
Hello.
How are you doing, gents? You all right? I know that I already know that, but, you know, are you all right? Because I have to do that for the program.
Oh, right. Okay. Go on, Axel. You go first.
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for having me. As I was saying before, I'm a big fan of both of y'all's. I don't know why I say y'all. I'm from frickin' New Jersey, but I did live in North Carolina. I'm a fan of both of you. You know, I've done podcasts. Elton, we've done a bunch of podcasts together, but it's been like a year or so.
Yeah, since, it has been a fair time. Yes, yeah. Definitely.
But Lee, I don't think we've been on a podcast before together.
No, we haven't. No, we have not been on the podcast together. I like to limit my appearances, and then I can start charging a fee or something.
It's special.
Yeah, it makes it special. That's right. Yeah, but no, it's good to talk to you.
Thanks. I mean, I'm doing good. I'm just sitting here hanging out. I've been looking forward to talking about. I like the idea that you had about films and also film jobs, but also like jobs in films.
Yeah, that sounded fun. That's what we're going to be doing. Yeah. It's going to be film jobs. And when I suggested this a little while ago, I think me and you, Lee, were knocking a few topics around. And I think it was more to do with my job and my job appearing in a film. And so for jobs in films, just a bog standard, the person behind the camera, but not quite on the film. We'll get into that in a second. But that's what I thought this topic would roll around. But if it goes into, you know, Best Grip and other stuff like that, then so be it.
Best Grip.
Best Grip. That's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the Brazzers podcast. You need that down the hall.
Yeah, it's whatever we want to really do. I'm quite happy with this jobs in films. You know, we could talk about... Does your job turn up in a film? Because I know mine does in a few. And then all of a sudden, you can have, I think you knocked around, Lee, with a couple of suggestions about Jurassic Park and the people behind the scenes. But if that was a real world situation, what would they be doing?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, who would be the guy to sit there and do nothing but dung out the Triceratops pen? I mean, man alive, that's got to be a job. But, you know, nobody thinks of these things. Everyone just thinks, oh, you know, that's just, you know, the people you see on screen are just the people in the film and that there are the people in the scenario. But, you know, Nakatomi Plaza must have had hundreds of security guards all just sitting there just going, what the fuck's going on up there?
Ain't it noisy up there?
Noisy. Those rich assholes, they're just shooting up a storm up there, you know. bloody gun lobbyists up on Nakatomi on the top floor. What's going on?
Yeah. So what we do, I'll ask a question. Does your job appear in any films at all? So Axel, what about you? Does your job appear in any films? Do you see your job or a job that you've done before and you go, hang on, that's not quite right?
I've had a bunch of different jobs. I've been a teacher. I've been in film. I worked at a public access station, and there's that famous Weird Al UHF movie. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's actually a lot of movies that take place at like public access stations. I've been a video store clerk, and of course, there's tons of movies like that. Mm-hmm. But when I think of the job, actually the movie, I contacted my friend Devin, who worked with me at World of Video, because he's like an encyclopedia of film. And I was like, hey, man, what's the first thing that comes to you when you think of a movie about a job? And he came back with really the movie that changed my life, which was Office Space.
Yeah.
That is like a quintessential. And I think when you look at even like our popular culture now, where everything's so meta and referencing real life, referencing like a movie or something, Office Space is like that. That was so important to me. I was working at a place called Daytech Online, which was a stock trading company. Yeah. In where was it? In Menlo. It was in the Menlo Park Office Plaza in central New Jersey. So it was basically like exactly, it looked exactly like the building in Office Space, right? And all around it was like Applebee's, blah, blah, right? Olive Garden, Bennigan's, like all that stuff where you went to lunch. It was the same kind of shit. But unlike Office Space, instead of there being like interesting nerdy characters, there were like all of these dudes who sat at their desks sniffing creatine. Do you know what that is?
Is that like Tippex?
It's like the stuff you get from GNC, the weightlifting stuff, like the powder.
Oh. All right.
And you like put it in like drinks and you drink it, or I don't know what you do with it, but they would sniff it. They would take like bumps of creatine while they were working, and they would call people and like, oh, you got to go up. You got to be bullish on this stock. And I was really like the guy on Office Space where I would be like, well, it looks like you're doing good. Like, why aren't you selling? And I'd be like, because I don't care.
Yeah, and, I've lost the will to live.
Yeah, and you know, want to know something? I worked there for 18 months, and the day I left, my manager came up to me and he said, man, I have loved working with you, but I got to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
You missed 54 days. In 18 months, and they paid me for all of them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because they just didn't care.
No.
You know?
That's amazing.
I don't know if you guys, have you guys ever worked office jobs like that? Because that movie really got, they got like just the monotony of how you're just doing things, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I've done quite an eclectic range of jobs, but I suppose the ones that turn up in the movies the most are the IT people. And I've done a few IT jobs, and I was an IT manager for a chartered accountants, which was the most tedious job in the world. I mean, you know, people who spend all day only using Excel don't have many issues other than what to do with something in Excel. And, you know, you're sitting there going, okay, you're having IT meetings about, you know, sort of, well, how can we improve the servers so that Excel's any good? And it's like, it just runs on their PC, dude. You just need to just get a bigger hard drive on the server to store more of this shit. I don't know what I'm doing here. Yeah. So I had that sort of thing. And you see IT people in things like the IT Crowd, and it is just like that. You know, but if you see something, but then you look at something like Jurassic Park or something, and everyone's going, oh, I know Unix, and I used to be an IT person, and they're all sitting there with like thousands of glowing lights and all this sort of shit around them, you know, all looking really cool. And it's like hacking away, and you're like, no, normally you're just sitting there with an action catalog going, I think I'll buy 50 CDs. Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, you're sort of watching, you know, I don't know, one of these, you know, the Matrix or something, and then like hacking away, we're protecting the mainframe, you know, or one of those things like, what was it? That awful film with Harrison Ford, Firewall, or the one
Swordfish.
Swordfish with Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. And he's spinning around in his chair and he's doing like weird keyboard commands from, he's using like a ping pong ball, throwing it at the keyboard. Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to press. Yeah, load of bollocks.
Exactly, while getting a blowjob off of Halle Berry, none of which happens in an IT job. I'll tell you that now. Just doesn't. Not even close. You can't even have a picture of Halle Berry on your wallpaper because someone will complain. So, you know, just, yeah, that was never the case. But The visual effects jobs don't tend to turn up in films too much. But I was always reminded about the that film with Brian, is it Brian Brown? The Australian guy, FX, Murder by Illusion, which had Brian Dennehy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
And apparently being a special effects guy isn't just sitting there in a darkened room with tons of props and bits and pieces and whole half-cut pieces of Airfix kit all around you and smelling mainly of xylene. Instead, it's actually apparently being super cool Australian guy who can make sort of Mission Impossible style facial makeup and monsters that are 6 foot tall, pneumatic monsters in about 7.5 seconds while a guy's coming up the stairs to try and kill you.
I totally forgot about that movie. That is like all the best bits of Mythbusters thrown into about half hour, isn't it?
It was. It was like Adam Savage sort of like investigates or something like that. Like if you crossed Miss Marple with Mythbusters, that was the fix. Murder by Illusion. It was nothing like that. Nothing at all. What about you, Elton? You seen many lift engineer jobs in films for you?
Well, you guys have probably seen a fair few lift scenes in movies. There's a couple. There's one in Speed where like half the lift gets blown off and it keeps dropping and then it stops and then it drops again. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing? Honestly, come on. Yeah. That thing is not going anywhere. At the moment, I have a lift turned off in a magistrate's court where the insurance man went there to test it for his testing purposes and he pulled the safety gear in and it's been like that for a week now because I couldn't get it out and I need at least 4 people to help me get that thing out. There is no way that thing is going anywhere. And on Speed, I think there's a bit where they have a bomb, they put a bomb on a lift and it breaks the cables and then everything starts falling and sparks are flying everywhere and then it stops. And then I think it's Keanu Reeves and the guy out of Dumb and Dumber are trying to get all the people out the lift and it keeps moving. He's like, what the fuck? No, that is stuck. That ain't going anywhere. There's no way. And there's sparks everywhere. Like, come on.
Well, Keanu just has a bit of a thing with lift engineers, doesn't he? Because in The Matrix, he does that with Carrie Ann Moss. They stand onto the top of a lift, and he basically hold onto the cables of the lift, and he shoots them, and the lift falls down, and he goes up, holding onto her, and they basically fly through the ceiling of the lift shaft.
I'm sorry, she would have ended up with a bullet through her femur if he'd done that.
Yeah, so you're saying that's not true either.
Well, he was in The Matrix at the time, so anything is really possible with that dude.
Oh, okay. I tell you what, here's one I want to ask you. Have you ever seen Omen 2?
I've
seen it.
Yeah, because there's the scene.
I may have.
There's a scene in that where a doctor discovers the truth about Damien, and he goes into a lift, and all of a sudden the lift, just thanks to Satan or something, just snaps, falls down. He hits the floor in the lift, but then a cable, which seems to be spanning right across the entire lift shaft, as holding onto the two weights, just drops. And as it drops, it goes straight through the top of the lift and straight through the whole lift and just cuts this guy in half.
Right. Well, the thing about it is that there's something there.
Right.
Lift cables are pretty bloody heavy.
Mm.
And depending on how long they are, the longer they are, the heavier they are. So I can see it could possibly rip a hole in the ceiling. But would it have the kinetic energy to cut someone in half? I don't think so. It'll probably just hurt their head really badly.
It did fall like two or three floors.
Maybe I shouldn't say this, but it's probably been about 15 years, but I was stood on the landing when a cable fell down the shaft and I was holding onto it. Now, you know that bit in Die Hard when he uses the fire hose to swing into the window and then all of a sudden the fire hose hydrant falls behind him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Imagine that is a cable, a big metal cable falling down, and I'm stood there holding it, and I've just seen it pass me, and I'm stood there going, still holding it, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I better let go of this because I'm going in. And I ended up letting it go just in time, but that was terrifying because that was falling all over the place and there were sparks flying all over the place on that one.
Man, that's scary.
Yeah. That was not. I was an apprentice at the time, and all I heard was the fitter upstairs going, "Watch your head." Okay, cheers.
Watch out below. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So that. What have you done any other jobs apart from lift engineer, Elton?
No.
No?
I'd done a paper round. And then.
You must have been. So you've been a paper boy. So has your life been like Goonies or like E.T. or anything like that? Just sort of scooting around, throwing papers through windows?
I always wanted to do the throwing in stuff. Axel, is that a true thing that happens?
Yeah.
What's that?
That you get a sort of, you know, sort of a sunset glow suburbia and a kid cycling on a little BMX, taking newspapers out and throwing them onto your porch.
Yep.
100%. No way.
Yes, I was that kid. My brother was that kid. My friends were. I don't know today. I mean, I think, you know, unfortunately, I don't see the paper being delivered like that now. It seems to be a lot of people in the back of like a pickup truck and they just throw it. But back in the day, and I'm sure in some places that get newspapers, hopefully, they do that. But yeah, all that stuff, I think all that stuff from those Spielberg-like movies like that, is totally rings true. I mean, when I was watching E.T., there was kind of like a subdivision just like that near where I lived. So even though that was, I guess, like California or something, right? Yeah, all that stuff is real. That's America, baby.
Did you befriend an alien at any point?
I mean, a couple in my mind. One time I was really high and I thought I saw a flying saucer. My friends still make fun of me.
Whooped out your speaking spell.
I saw it. It was my friend RF still makes fun of me. I saw it. It was a flying saucer.
Right. We're going to have to dive into that. So you definitely saw a flying saucer.
I don't know. I definitely believe in aliens, but I will tell you though that, yeah, that is really, that kind of, kid delivering the newspaper and kids throwing it. Also the, like, I want my $2. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep, yep.
From what? Better Off Dead. I want my $2. That kind of, man, when that came out, I had some friends who were delivering newspapers, like running people down. Give me, give me the money, old lady.
Nice.
I remember all that. I'm trying to think of a job that I work that has not has been portrayed wrongly on film. Because a lot of the film stuff, I was just thinking of that that Game of Thrones documentary. That's a not documentary. That's not really a film. But most of the film jobs I worked were as a PA, as a production assistant.
All right.
And working like on the sets and stuff like that. And I actually think that film has done a pretty decent job in a lot of films of actually showing how a set works, besides sometimes the equipment, and because, you know, you have to like, you can't have as many wires as are really on the ground when you're like shooting stuff, or if it looked a kind of like as dirty as it really looks behind. Because that's one thing I will say is on a film set, sometimes it's like right where the cameras are, everything behind it is like a disaster zone.
Yeah.
And then everything in front of it is like perfect.
Yeah, it's like everyone just suddenly swept everything up just behind, as far as it can go behind the camera and that's it.
But see, there's a good, there's a lot of movies that have shown that. Like I was just thinking of that, what that Tom DiCillo movie with Steve Buscemi. Wow, what's the name of that, man? I always forget the name of that film. But that was a great one.
I know. When you're talking about, I can't remember the name of it.
Oh man, all I do is I can see it was black and white, and I just see Buscemi's eye. Oh, in the I was going to say In the Thick of It, but it's not. It's something in something.
Oh, God.
I can't remember.
I'm gonna Google it now.
yeah, Google it. I know it's Tom DiCillo because he's done a couple actually. That's the thing I was thinking about when you were kind of mentioning that. Then you mentioned films like films about films, which have always interested me, and especially as I spent some time doing that on those type of sets, but just also just out making movies. I think they do a good job when they show that kind of stuff, besides the mess part.
Okay.
We do have a comment in the chat room.
Ori
Studfarm. And he says, I've heard a porn set fluffer's job isn't as...
Isn't as...
isn't as it might as be portrayed. Lots of cocaine-filled syringes.
The dick,
so I hear.
Well, okay. So that presumes he's seen a lot of films where porn set fluffers exist.
Who watches a documentary about porn?
Someone who couldn't get the porn channel.
Yeah,
or the internet.
Google Pornhub.
Yeah, the internet was down. That's the only thing on. AVN Awards
ones,
or
aren't there?
But I mean, isn't amateur porn a documentary?
Ah, true. True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, technically speaking, it's handheld camera. Yes. It's, you know.
And many men have used that line. You're not the first. It's just a documentary, okay? We're just like.
Educational purposes. Yeah, it's just a slice of life. It's slice of life. The people need to know.
Trust me, that is the truth, though. I was just thinking of that the other day, and it's so funny that it took like, you know, 3 minutes for that comment to come in, like to take it to the porn level. That it's like any dude I know who becomes a photographer or whatever, I always put a countdown clock in my mind of how long they're going to go before they start trying to get girls to take their clothes off. take your family shots. And then it's like 3 weeks later. Ooh, look at these boudoir shots
did. Well, I won't name names. I don't think he listens to this podcast, but I won't name names. But there's someone I know who does exactly that. He went, oh, you know, I've got a camera. I've got, you know, I'm going to take some shots. And there was like an artistic shot of a hill with a broken down church on it. And then there was another one of some stormy clouds. And then there was Tiffany, 13, 19, you know, in
Jesus Christ.
This went not really 13. South.
Not 13. That was a slip of the tongue. Oh, judge me.
That was a different job.
Sweet home Alabama. Sorry. But yeah, no. So yeah, it was like, it took about four posts. And it was like, went from like, you know, like I say, artistic shots on hillsides to suddenly, oh, look, all of her clothes have fallen off.
Yeah. But it's artistic.
Yes, exactly. If it's in black and white, it's artistic.
So is the job of a fluffer a real job that was there, or is there still, or what?
I don't know.
What's a fluffer? I don't know. What is a fluffer, Elton? I'm innocent and do not understand.
What's Babe Station, yeah?
Yeah, what's Babe Station, yeah. I mean, as far as I'm aware, I believe that used to be a thing. I don't think it is a thing anymore. But I mean, I have never been on a porn set. Though I tell you what, one of the guys who used to work with me at Cartoon, his first production assistant job was actually working for something like Babe Station or something like that. He used to be sort of running around and booking the girls and taking photographs for promotional websites and all that kind of stuff. And he absolutely loved it. And I tell you what, I could probably get him on here, but the only problem is a really thick Italian accent. And he speaks at all. He's like auditioning for Mario in the Mario game. But that was his first job. So yeah, going from Babe Station or whatever it was. I think it might have been Television X. That's it, Television X. And he used to do all that sort of stuff. They just sat there on the set 24/7, just taking photographs and running around getting people coffees and booking sort of ladies of negotiable affection to attend.
It's going to become really stagnant real quick as well, isn't it?
I imagine it's not a career that gets better the longer you're in it.
Yeah.
I imagine that's going to be a law of diminishing returns, to say the least.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Ori Stud Farm in the Google, in the Mixlr chat room, about the fluffers, he just typed Google it. So,
I tell you what,
I'm not Googling that.
I tell you what, Ori SF Farm. X Farm, you Google it, and then you just tell us the truth. You do the bit of on-site research, because my Google history at the moment is bad enough after the last time we were on. Don't want to get any further. So, back to jobs that are seen done badly. The one thing always usually annoys me, because even in the job I do now, which is doing graphics for engineering, the thing that always annoys me is when people try and blow up tiny, tiny, like 360 pixel images and blow them up to like print size. So they look like someone's having a surreal moment with Lego. And you sort of watch film, you see all these things where they go, zoom in, enhance. You're like, there is no graphical information inside that picture. You have literally just blown up a bunch of pixels to the size of a football field. You twat. But no, you know, I mean, you know, Blade Runner does it with the whole sort of track 15 right, now track 55 left, and then, you know, go right up to like, was it Millennium and all those CSI movies, her CSI TV shows. Yeah. It's like, can you zoom in on that? Yeah, sure. Can you zoom in on that? Yeah, sure. Can you zoom in on that? Yeah. Okay. Now, if you look just to the left of the last follicle on the right side of his hand, you can see he's written in pen on the underside of his finger, which isn't even in a photo, that he's written an address. What's the address? I don't know. Let's invert it. Enhance. It's like, fuck off. It's a two-dimensional picture. If you blew it up and enhanced it, all you'd have is one gray pixel 20 feet wide across the screen.
Yeah, the thing my wife always complains about. See, it's a little harder for me because for so long my job was editing and making movies that I feel bad making fun of the way they portray jobs badly. Because there's always a voice in my head saying, yeah, but every movie is about making a movie and they had to make the movie. It's not as fun. So I can really experience this through my wife, who's a research scientist. And so as you can imagine, I mean, how many times do they like take like a little piece, they take something out of their pocket, like a toothpick, and then they like take something, they go under someone's fingernail and they look at it and they go, okay, let's go get the DNA. You know what I mean? And like, my wife is always sitting there going, oh my God, do you know how long that would take? Do you know the chances of them even salvaging from proper DNA for that? And like any test, anything medical or scientific in a movie, she'll just have to call it out and complain because that stuff is like so boring, right? And you know that like they wait like 6 months and then the results come back and they're like, ah, what are they? Inconclusive.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not exciting.
Yeah.
Has she seen the film Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus then?
No, she probably liked that though. Is Tara Reid in that? Is that, that's like one of those?
No, it's Debbie Gibson.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And she's like a scientist, and there is a beautiful scene where they're sat around in the lab. Now, bearing in mind, if there was a table and you had two other people with you doing scientific stuff, then one of them will probably be on the other side of the table. But no, they've set it up so all three are on the same side of the table, and they've got like beakers, and they're putting liquids into one beaker and then turning it into another beaker and swishing it around and putting it on a Bunsen burner. And then they just look at each other and nod. And that is their whole scientific formula that they use. It's just brilliant. It's done so cheesily.
Yeah. But
this was just before these films were made to be the height of cheesiness.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you think Debbie Gibson as a DNA scientist is one thing, but how about Lorenzo Lamas as a DNA scientist? I mean, it's, you know, that really does push it. Before you even get to the Mega Shark or the Giant Octopus, it's nonsense. Look at these two. They don't even know which way up the book goes, let alone the book they're reading. But, anyway, sorry, I've noticed we've got some people in the chat. That's all. I was wondering if they were going to say anything, but no.
All right. Well, I hope you're enjoying our conversation here. Man, Lee and Elton are a lot of fun. We're just kind of goofing and having a good time talking. But check out cufflinks.com. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. You can use code DVR20 and get 20% off whenever, no minimum. That helps out the podcast, lets them know that you're listening. But check out everything when you're over there. They have NBA, NFL. NFL's coming up. They've got some awesome NFL stuff. And like I said, in the beginning of the show, regardless, it's all wearable art. This is high quality materials here. You're going to be proud to wear it, and you're going to look good. You're going to elevate your style when you walk out in the morning. So use code DESIGNER25 to save 25% off the designer sale. We got the Disney sale coming up August 15th. They're launching some new Black Panther stuff. Some Joker stuff is coming too. It's fantastic. So go to cufflinks.com/DVR today.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Let me throw a for instance. What about the cleaners, either after the Die Hard film had happened or, no, hang on, Ghostbusters. Someone has to clean up all that marshmallow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're spending, you know, the entire city and state of New York is completely bankrupt because they have to get like a jet wash for like 2 months of just 1 inch of street trying to get a tiny bit of that 10,000 tons of marshmallow off the pavement. It's like the higher costs go through the ceiling. Plus, I mean, all those sort of films. The only one that did a film like did do something like that, dealing with the fallout, was the Spider, not the last Spider-Man movie.
That's just like what I was going to say. Yeah, Michael Keaton's job was to clean up. Remember that? Yeah, and he stole what he found, and that's kind of cool. I was when Elton said that, I was thinking that exact thing. I was like, they actually took that, which is kind of like a jokey concept, and it is funny and weird, but it's actually like, logistically speaking, someone would have to do it if they want this universe to remain something that the fans believe in. So that was kind of smart to do that, right?
That's right. Mm. I thought it was really cool. It was, you know, it was really smart. That was the premise, that, you know, there's all these people just hoovering up debris, and then all of a sudden they're coming across, oh, here's some sort of, you know, cleaner sort of coming across some alien technology and going, well, you know what? I think I can make a flying suit out of this.
That's kind of Stephen Kingish too, because he has a couple stories where people, what's that one when they're cleaning out the basement of an old factory and their job is just to clean the muck up, and then they discover that there's like this kind of creature down there. It's one of his short stories.
Is that in Skeleton Crew, I think?
Yeah,
isn't it?
I think you're right. I remember that. It's like a summer job, and it's really hot, and it's in Maine, of course, and they're cleaning it out, and then he was good at doing that.
Yeah, didn't he develop the same idea back took it back into Tommyknockers, where they find the top of the ship, and they clear it because they're clearing the forest.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The top of the ship, and it's a battery, but it's the same idea, yeah. Yeah, I mean... You got those jobs of people who have to deal with the fallout of stuff afterwards. I mean, you know, the famous, all-time famous one is the one posited in Clerks, which is that when the second Death Star is being built that's twice the size of the original, basically the Empire is fighting a war, so they've got all their forces sort of chasing the rebellion all around the galaxy. Which means that to get the Death Star built on time and, you know, and on budget, and the Emperor's turning up, you know, to see how they're progressing, they'd have to get contractors in who don't necessarily have any political affiliation one way or the other. So when the rebels come sweeping in and blow the Death Star up, they're not actually killing a hell of a lot of the actual Empire. What they're doing is they're killing construction workers and people who have been shipped in. Yeah. Yeah.
Subcontractors
who, you know, it's like someone hiring you to come in and do the lifts in the turbo shaft of one of the columns of the Death Star. And you're sitting there going, doo 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 doo, and all of a sudden an X-Wing flies past. And then 5 minutes later, you're on fire heading towards Endor. You know, it's like, you know, and then you have to wonder whether or not the politics of getting involved in that kind of contract actually is is it good money, you know, is it worth doing that job, because it's got to be risky.
That job is going to be subcontracted and then subcontracted and then subcontracted, isn't it? And people are just going to be creaming off the top every layer.
Exactly. That's what Force Awakens should have been. It's just a lawsuit. Just an endless negligence lawsuit. we covered up the exhaust port. Yeah, but you left the whole side of the fucking space station empty. You completely left it open. You didn't protect your contractors. Well, they knew. They signed their waivers.
And there's just a dude with a hard hat and a high vis and a clipboard walking around going, look, I can see space from here. This is not on, is it?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, going around writing up reports going, well, you see, no handrails in the Emperor's quarters. Oh, you know, that's dangerous when he turns up. See, he could fall down that hole.
Wasn't that a thing as well? Wasn't there something about there was no handrails on the actual laser cannon on was it the first Death Star or the second Death Star when they fire it and the guys just turn away from it?
They turn away from it, but also when old Ben Kenobi goes to turn off the tractor beam, like the switch to turn the tractor beam off and on is only accessible by a 1 foot wide got a 1 foot wide slab of metal that's standing over a 12 mile high drop. It's like, nice. Health and safety and death star must have just been spending forever just going around putting stickers on things.
Oh, they would have had a fit about that. No, actually, it would be a guy going around and carrying his clipboard and going, no, there should be a chain there. And I want a big high-vis sign there. And where's the fire exit? Oh, it's not illuminated. That's not good enough.
Yeah, there should be a going around saying, you know, these doors don't stop. They stop early. Look, someone could knock their head on that. And just putting like some sort of stripy tape on the bottom of the doors. Going around and just like kind of, nope, we're going to have to shut it down. Ofsted report, Death Star, special measures.
Goes into administration.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
Mm.
Steven Seagal, he was a chef, wasn't he, on a train?
Oh, on an aircraft carrier.
Was it an aircraft
carrier? Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, I've never been a chef.
Mm.
But would a chef? Well, he had like military experience as well. I suppose he's on an aircraft carrier. He should have military experience, shouldn't he? But
yeah, but not only military experience, but he also had to have good structural understanding because he baked a cake which Erica Elenak jumped out of. And you can't be in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and build one of those things just out of nothing. He's got to be one hell of a chef.
You know, it's hard. You know, chef movies are hard. It's hard to make that exciting. You can do that like on reality TV, but if you think about it, think about movies that have made like cooking food look really exciting. You can't really think of it.
I'm trying to think of them. Yeah,
what's a movie where somebody's a chef? There's like there's the movie Chef, and then there's that Bradley Cooper movie where he was a chef, right?
Was it?
Yeah. He was actually
a sniper.
No, he was in Kitchen Confidential, I think, which was the Tony, what's his name? The guy Tony Bourdain. It was like a short-lived TV show, and then they did a movie that was kind of like that, and the exciting dramatic twist is when his ex-girlfriend gives him the knives of her father, who was a great chef. So like the whole movie leads up to her like being like here. And he opens up that thing, you know how they like fold it over four times and it has all the knives in it? And I'm always wondering like if they're always checking that it's turned the right way so the knives don't fall out. And she opens it up and like gives it to him. And he's like, wow. And then he goes, cooks a meal. And then you see him take the knife and chop something. And my wife and I were like laughing. Like, this is so stupid. Like he's like, and he's crying while he chops it, and you're like, was it onions? I don't. Like, what? It's just you can't make that exciting. Like I think, like if you do a quick thing on reality TV, you're in there. You know, you can make it kind of like competitions are popular, but then you think of like chefs in movies. There's Big Night that those two actors directed, Stanley Tucci. And
guy who plays Monk.
Tony Shalhoub.
That's it, Tony Shalhoub.
And that is supposed to be the best film ever about food. Like so many people say that they show, like the way they take the time to show like, oh, this meal was from my mom. And then they'll like kind of like integrate it, you know, because chefs are always talking about like where the meal came from. Like, I give a shit. I'm just hungry. I don't need a story. I just want to eat.
We bought these mushrooms down from on high upon the back of a yak, and it was lovingly laid out to make a creamy jus or something. It was like, just fucking put it on the fucking plate. It's getting cold.
Guess what? Yeah. It took me a second to eat it. Good job. It's not worth it. This is totally out of whack.
Yeah, I'm still going to McDonald's after this.
What was dipping this film it in ranch. Again?
Big Night.
Big Night.
Big Night. But I was thinking about that, like jobs that are hard to do in a movie. And that's hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only chef one that comes to mind for me is Ratatouille.
Yeah, right. Well, they could make that exciting because it's a cartoon and he can like use his feet to cook and shit. But
Still, I don't know many chefs who are controlled by their hair, though, you know, rat underneath their hat, you know, sort of pulling around with hair. On the chat, we've got the Profanabard, and he says, although I work in the newspaper business, no one has ever shouted, hold the front page or stop the press. That would simply just received a raised eyebrow from a hairy assed engineer along with, and who the fuck are you, you ball bag? So that's now you true. Know. And Andy Palastides would like us to know that it wasn't an aircraft carrier in Under Siege. It was a battleship.
Oh.
A battleship.
You sank my battleship.
Exactly. Exactly. It does make a difference because I'd imagine if it was an aircraft carrier, he would have just taken off. And flown the plane and just shot everyone.
Too
shot
noisy. Tommy. Chefs need to concentrate.
Exactly. His souffle would flop, wouldn't it? Every time a plane took off.
That was the original act two of that movie. So they had to change it. Like, do souffle parts not work, Stephen?
Yeah, exactly. Shit, we need a complete page one rewrite. Put it on a battleship, not an aircraft carrier. God damn, the souffle. The souffle seems important. How are we going to get Eleanor in that thing? God, it's going to collapse. Should be covered in goo.
Should be all gooey.
Gooey, yeah.
I just being reminded, I can't remember how, but I watched Superman 3 a little while ago. Now, that is a cracking movie if you haven't seen that for a long, long time. But Jimmy Olsen, there's a scene where, because he's the photographer, and they go to a
hill and take a photograph of a rundown church, and then 3 minutes later, the next post, I'm taking all their clothes off.
Oh. No, he's him and Clark Kent are on a bus. They get off the bus, they scoot past some police, and there's something going on at like the acid factory. And he climbs up one of the firemen's ladders to take shots of a fire, which is warming up the acid, which is later goes into the film later on. But him putting himself in that position, I don't think you'd have someone putting themselves in a real dangerous position on a fireman's ladder like that, because now you have all these big telefocal zooms on their cameras now, don't they? That he had this silly little wind-up thing that he climbed on a ladder with, and he's like, no, I'm going to get these great shots. Look at me. And it's like, oh, come on, man. No, that's not going to happen nowadays.
Well, I imagine it wouldn't happen these days, but I mean, I'm always reminded of the time when I was working in IT for at CNN, and they were there, you know, and I was on call that time, and there was a guy in a ditch being bombed while trying to type up his report in a on a laptop, and he phoned me up from like wherever the hell he was, and sort of said, "Oh, I've got this problem. You all clear?" I'm sitting there in my pants at 3 o'clock in the morning, and all I can hear is, "And there's a thing. I can't move my controller. My mouse isn't working." And I'm like, "Dude, get out of the fucking way of where you are." And it's. And then all of a sudden it just turned out that he couldn't press the return key because there was some masonry underneath it.
Oh, man.
Oh, so, yeah, they do. They... yeah. So they do some crazy shit, journalists. I wouldn't say that was completely out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, no. I don't think it was then. I think it would be a little bit now. They'd more rely on their big... lenses that they can carry around.
Big lenses. Is that a technical term?
Yeah, that's exactly what they... Hang on, where are my big lenses? Here they are.
Yes, my fighting lenses. There they are. This is my far, far away lens.
And this is my very small lens.
Yes, this is my lens for photographing ants.
This is one for lady looking.
Yeah, and this is the lady's clothes have just fallen off lens. Anyway, yeah. So
bring it back. Bring it. Let's bring this back.
Hold on. Yeah, Pravana Bar says, rely on freelancers for getting the right place at the right time and Getty Images for having something else. what I was going to say was, what job in film or TV, in films, would you not want to have?
Ooh.
You know, what is the shittiest job that you've ever seen someone have from the start? I mean, you know, you follow the character, they've got a job. What is the shittiest job you've seen?
That's a good one. I'm trying to think. I haven't got a vast collection of films in my head, which is a bit of a pain.
Well, you like your G.I. Joe movies. What about someone who polished a sword? Someone. And I've got to be definitely a tough job.
There's so many jobs that are cops and military people, and I would never want to do that.
Yeah, Andy Placidy just said policeman 2 days from 2 days from retirement.
I feel like that's, you know, when you think about it, like cops, lawyers, doctors, right? And even though these are the kind of jobs that are all in the movies and people always like, oh, wow, that because it's exciting or dramatic. There's no way I'd want to do that. I mean, I've had friends. I know people who are cops and that does not sound like a fun job to me.
No,
not at all. You know, it sounds like just bad hours and nobody, every time you interact with someone, it's their worst experience. It's just your day. You know what I mean? Think about that. When you get pulled over, any interaction you have with law enforcement is because something bad happened.
Yeah.
Right. So their jobs are based on every time they see someone, that person's like, oh no, not you. You know, it's like the same thing. Doctor. Nobody wants to go to the doctor, but we glorify these jobs, right? Like I don't know. Like I said, my wife is into that a little bit. So she finds it's interesting. But man, I don't even want to go near I don't even want to drive by a hospital, let alone like have to go and hang out in one all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Profanabard in the chat says the worst job in movies must be being a plumber in a porno that's actually come to service the pipes. As opposed to anything else.
Well, there's a famous, I thought this might get dirty. There's a movie from 2001 called The Chum Scrubber. I don't know if you ever saw this. No. It's about, in it, there's a character and their job is to clean the floors in the porno theater.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. So I figured that would be one that you'd want to hear about. And by the way, there is a movie called The Fluffer from 2001. And it is a movie. It's actually full of intrigue and passion, but it's called The Fluffer. And it's about a guy who is a fluffer in gay porn.
Nice. So
there you go, guys. It's already become a reality. Too late.
He's got warm hands. He's got warm hands and low standards.
Yeah.
When you mentioned about the police films and the actual jobs, there's two films that spring to mind. There's End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
I thought that was a really good movie.
Yeah. That was a little really hard. Good. Yeah. The editing and the way it was shot with the, like it was supposed to be, you know, like the dash cams and all that was was a little much even for me, but,
I thought it was portrayed really well on that, but there's also the copper in Trading Places. When I think it's Dan Aykroyd's getting screwed over and he has to taste the drugs. He's like, that's PCP. Hang on. You've just got high, haven't you? You're not allowed to do that.
Well, coppers do that cops do that in all films, don't they? They sort of dab their finger in like cocaine, like it's sherbet dip dab, and they go, Oh yeah, that's cocaine with a sort of like it's been cut with some talcum powder. It's like, dude, what, you got like a fucking mass spectrometer on your tongue? What the hell the fuck did you know that? You know, it's like, yeah, that's got something else in it, something gritty. I think it's like 65% calcium. I'm getting a little hint of a carbon in there. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
It's like every cop has to go through their own personal training day.
Yeah.
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 There's another one, Rampart with Woody Harrelson. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, a long time ago though, but yeah.
That is an insane, that's a really strange movie too, because he's also like a polygamist. And
a bit like Harvey Keitel in The Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah, it had a lot going on, Rampart. But the police stuff was, I always thought that Southland was one of the best police shows, I think kind of modern, that was a little bit more realistic because it had that vibe too. That's what I think, man. Every time I watch a show, or I think like, you know what really would be a horrific job is prison guard. Who the hell wants to do that? God, why would you ever want to do that?
Well, have you been watching Orange is the New Black?
I've seen a couple seasons, but I have to admit that I stopped watching it.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen it in years.
Every single guard in there is bent. That's the way it's portrayed.
Yeah.
Every single one is bent. And they're all trying to overdo each other. And you're like, is that really the way it would be? Maybe you get one. That would be like the... It wouldn't be the norm, I don't think. It would be the abnormal. That it might happen, because you're always going to get someone who's a little bit bent and wants to do the naughty naughty. But every single person in this program is bent.
Are you following this, Axel, by the way? Just because bent, naughty naughty, it means something. But I'm not entirely sure it means the same thing in the sort of the American slang.
I would say what if you'd say that is bent. I just meant I thought that meant kind of like just strange or kinky or something that.
Yeah. No.
What does it mean?
It means corrupt.
Oh. Okay. Okay. Because we could say get bent, but it would mean more like, it could also mean get wasted.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I kind of thought better step in here.
No, but I think I was kind of on the, I was a little bit, I think I kind of got it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's cool.
It's only been a couple hundred years. It's not that long.
Yeah. You know, two countries separated by a common language, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I'm just looking up the worst jobs from movies.
Yeah.
And apparently, there's been a survey taken, and I'll go through them in order, the top nine. Do you want to take a guess before I do this? What do you think is number nine? The worst job to have in a particular movie.
And that is in front of the cameras, yes, not behind.
As a character in a film. And I'll throw this open to the chat room as well. Anyone want to take a guess?
Cafeteria worker. Cafeteria worker.
No.
That is always portrayed very badly, and someone definitely gets food thrown at them.
Yeah, cafeteria. Right?
Always.
Yeah. Yeah, or a prison cafeteria person.
They have a hair net on, and there's hair that it falls out anyway, even though they have the hair net. There's always hair anyway.
Exactly. You know that food smells like shit as well. But
it's sloppy too, and they have a metal ladle.
Yes. Yeah. Metal ladle, and the trays are metal, and everything's just grim. Everything's under a sort of green fluorescent light. Okay. Well, at number nine... At number nine, we have, and this will sort of give you an idea of where this list is going. being a precog in Minority Report. You know, the three that sit in the three psychic people that sit in the little. Yeah, it says you would suffer an endless slideshow of the future murders and lots of pruned skin.
Yeah, that water didn't look comfortable either. It looked like really like lukewarm.
Yeah, or it looked like wallpaper paste.
That's not comfortable, not at all.
That's not a good job, no. So now I've said that. Hold on, here we go. Andy Palacios says firefighter at Chernobyl is low on the list. Yes,
very low.
I think that's zero because it's not on this list. Yeah. But I think that's probably because this list came out a little bit a while ago. So anyone want to take another guess? We got number 8 now.
Minor in Chernobyl. They had to get naked.
I think we'll just take Chernobyl as red and then we'll. All
right. Because the whole rest of the podcast would just be guy who lives near Chernobyl, person Chernobyl. Who saw it.
Okay. Student. Go on. Sorry.
No, go on.
I was going to say student.
Student.
Yeah, because you've either got Michelle Pfeiffer turning up, being your teacher, or you've got Indiana Jones as your teacher, and he climbs out a window and just leaves you there.
Well, okay, that's fair enough. It's not on the list, but I'll wait. Has anyone in the chat room got another one? No? Okay, right, fine. Well, number eight is a camp counselor at Crystal Lake in Friday the 13th.
No, not a good job.
Yeah, it's got pros and cons, this one, though. Pro, you'll probably get some. Con, you're definitely going to die afterwards.
Yes. There was a distinct lesson of those films, which is do not ever have sex. that was a distinct message of Friday the 13th films.
Which always leads up to that fantastic gag in the one that goes into space. Were they? Did you ever see that one?
Oh yeah, I love those movies.
Did you ever see it, Elton?
Is that the Jason X one?
Yeah. And he goes into the hollow suite, into the hologram, and it's like there's all these girls in sleeping bags going, "We're all about to have premarital sex," and there's sort of Jason. Next thing you see, you cut to Jason basically getting these holographic characters and wrapping them up in their sleeping bags and just slapping them into the ground, just kind of constantly trying to kill them.
The only one from that I think of is that weird death. It kind of scarred me with the liquid. I forget what it is now. The stuff that freezes you.
Liquid nitrogen.
Yes. Is that in that movie or is it in a different movie?
I think it is, actually, because it's the coolant off the engines, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, and he comes behind someone and just dips their face into it.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, at number 7, do you want to take another stab at this, seeing as we now know what we're kind of aiming for? So look at a film and try and find a job that you probably wouldn't want in that film.
Refueler on the Mir station.
In Armageddon. Yeah. You were not watching the dials. You were not watching the dials.
Stupid Americans.
No. No, well, actually, that I don't know if that's on the... No, it's not on the list. But we'll... I'd take that. I'd put that in there. Axel, got one?
No, I'm trying to rack my brain. I think we went over a good amount. I was trying to think of, maybe the person who got the house after the people in Hellraiser, because they get really bloody up there.
there's a
tried
lot
to flip the house after blood in Hellraiser.
Yeah, the person who has to clear up clear up the base in the thing. Yeah, no, it's not far off though. It's working for Weyland-Yutani in Alien.
Yes,
anyone who works for Weyland-Yutani in the Alien universe or in the Alien movies, yeah, as it says here, your intended purpose is to bring back petrol, but what you actually do is bring back an alien in your stomach. That's rough.
Yeah, you're expendable.
You are, exactly. At number six, I'll read this one out. Gotham City police officer in Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you really want to be a police officer in Gotham City, to be honest. I mean, we've already done police officers, though, I guess. But
window cleaner, Nakatomi Plaza.
Window cleaner, Nakatomi. No, the person who puts the windows panes back in. Because there isn't many windows left by the end, is there? Most of them blown out.
Everyone's covered in a shit ton of glass.
Yeah, the person who has to do the sort of reglazer of Nakatomi Plaza, sitting there going, "I just finished this." Metropolis maintenance worker in Man of Steel is at number five, which makes sense. Because that's pretty bloody awful. But
they did that. You know, they did something like that for the there was a very short-lived, it was a comic series. It's kind of like the Star Trek one that they're doing, the animated one.
Oh, what, Lower Decks?
Yeah, where they I think it only did like 5 or 6 episodes on ABC, but it was like kind of a weird spin-off of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I think it had been a comic book, and their job was to clean up after all of the battles and whatever superheroes did, their job was to come in and clean up after them.
Oh, my word.
And that was a very short-lived comedy that was not very funny. And they had there was one actor that I remember that was in it. But you know what's good for all this, when it comes to the superhero stuff and all that, is that new Amazon series, The Boys. They get a lot of funny, like, if there really were superheroes, what jobs people would have, but also like what weird things would happen in real life.
Yeah, yeah. Like I'm gearing up to see it, I'll be honest. But like most things, the Amazon list just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's just like, oh man, I'm running out of hours in my life to watch all this stuff. But that whole thing, the whole idea of if they're superheroes, it'd be whole industries just going around, sort of like growing up around them, sort of like, hey, we can repair your costume in 5 minutes or less, you know, because you're constantly going to need costumes. I mean, someone who must, you know, people who wash, you know, Alfred from Batman must have the worst job. This isn't on the list, because man alive, he's got to be a medic. And he's got to wash Superman's, Batman's underpants. I mean, that's a bad move. You can imagine he must have some proper sweat marks. Old Batman. He must come home smelling. He must come home smelling like bacon and onions every day.
What about the cleaner on the holodeck after Riker?
Ooh, yeah, we're back to chum scrubbers again, aren't we?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and you know, nice. Batman too is always in a bad mood.
Yeah, he's not the best employer, I'll be honest with you.
No, a lot of these jobs is like, just doesn't seem very happy.
No, that's gonna be the worst. You got to care for this guy, and all he's doing is turning up and going, Alfred, I need stitches. And my pants on the outside are filled with sweat after a 72-hour fucking 72 hour stakeout. Yes, Master Lou. Yes, Master Wayne. I mean, yeah, Jesus, that's got to be bad. Just sitting, you've got to be constantly scrubbing those things. I don't think that smell would ever come out. It's going to smell. No, they're
not very breathable either, are they?
No. That Batman costume, doesn't matter which one it is. Apart from maybe the Adam West one, which I think has got enough silk in it to make it kind of slightly breezy.
That was very breathable.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe that's another day. Film and TV costumes and their practicalities. But the one that's at number three on this list of bad, bad jobs. Yeah. And I agree with this. I think it should be higher personally, is the Oompa Loompas in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. You work all day and you have to live with your co-workers, and all you've got to eat is chocolate and deal with spoiled kids and a complete madman. I mean, that's got to be bad.
The kids turning up are probably a good day for them. That you've caught them on a good day there, because 364 other days of the year, there are no kids there whatsoever.
Yeah, that's true. Just sitting there in some crazy sweet shop while a guy in a top hat, you know, sort of just strolls around singing Pure Imagination for the 87th time.
Yeah. And telling you past landmarks as well, like the River of Chocolate. It's just like walking through London. Yeah, it's the River Thames. Don't care. But people who've never been there are like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. It's like, yeah, I really don't care.
Mm. Do you think Wonka actually kind of goes past them and goes, sing that bloody Oompa Loompa song again? Oompa Loompa doopity-doo. Come on, make it rhyme. Come on. You know, I mean, that's slave labor right there. You don't want to be an Oompa Loompa. No way.
No.
I
was going to suggest Johnny Cab, but that's a robot, though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not really
by someone, is it?
No, but going back to the list, the number two one, and you, I think we might just go. Oh, of course, being a red shirt on the USS Enterprise.
Yeah.
That's got to be a bad job. I mean, you know, it's the classic worst job of all pop culture, isn't it? It's just doomed. I mean,
was this on all the way through Star Trek, or did this just happen on the original stuff?
It was mainly the original stuff. The Next Generation changed the colors around, so it was gold shirts in the Next Generation. Who would get the sort of like get the beam down to a planet, Ensign Ricky, and then get zapped, you know? Or was it the Sam Rockwell character in Galaxy Quest? You know, I didn't even have a name. I'm going to get killed. But that was it. Mainly, if you wore a red shirt in the original series, you were, unless you were Scotty, you were pretty much dead as soon as you appeared on the screen. You might as well have dead meat written across your forehead.
Yeah. Axel, didn't they do this in Lost as well?
Yes.
If you're carrying something.
Yeah, like the log people.
Yeah.
The log people.
Yeah, just like carrying trees and stuff, always like every time somebody got killed, they'd be like, "We gotta go out and get wood for the fire." Mm. And then, you know, you'd hear a monster noise and they wouldn't come back.
Right.
You'd see the trees ruffle. Little smoke come up. You'd hear a cab clinking.
Nice.
That was the actual sound.
Are you sure you want to fire tonight?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to go out for wood tonight.
But I think they got into it too. Like Damon and Carlton got into talking about that, you know, and referencing the red shirts and all that.
No.
So I think that was kind of a part of it too. But you always have to have those people that are there to get killed.
Yeah, disposable. That's it. You know, that's why pretty much every Marvel movie and Lord of the Rings movie has about 100 billion CGI extra characters for the fight at the end. So you can just wipe them all out without having to affect your main characters.
Yeah.
You don't want to be any of those guys. You don't want to be any of those guys.
Oh, hey, when I stepped away, I came back. Were you talking about what was the Willy Wonka one?
The Oompa Loompas.
Oh, being an Oompa Loompa. Oh, because see, I was thinking that Willy Wonka actually has a plot point that hinges on the job when he gets mad at them for messing up how the inside of that floating tank is like stainless steel.
Mm.
And then he mentions, do you know how much it's going to cost to clean that?
Yeah.
So it's like he kind of knew, you know, he had enough sense to treat the Oompa Loompas right.
Did he? I thought it was just the cost of shipping in more Oompa Loompas after he stuck pole on them and just used them as like mops up and down the side of that stainless steel thing.
That's probably what he did. You're right. That's how their hair got that color.
That's right. And that's why, you know, they're so small, you can send them up and down sort of like ducts, you see, to clean everything out. So, Yeah, he probably had a Oompa Loompa turnover that was quite high, actually. He's probably just chipping them in all the time. Probably had whole farms of them out the back. Seriously, it was. It was slave labor. You know, they didn't say anything. They weren't allowed to talk to him. They weren't allowed to talk to anyone. They had to just sing that song. The Oompa Loompa doopity-doo. Shut up. No communications. I don't want dissension in the ranks. Bring me another sweet. Yeah. Oh, and number one on the list, by the way, just get out of the way, was Death Star Operator in Star Wars, which was the guy standing by the beam, just simply because, A, you're pressing the button to fire the weapon. I didn't realize the firing mechanism was actually in the tunnel. There's a picture and it's actually in the tunnel. I thought it was in a different room.
Yeah, I thought it was in that big control room and they were going, and they pulled them little levers down and you had the funny guy with the funny helmet on.
Maybe that's like the safety.
Yeah. If you look at the actual image of that laser beam firing, the guy who covers his eyes, he's one guy, but then there's actually a whole bunch of guys beside him in the dark. And you can see it on the digital version. They're actually in the dark. They're actually pressing all the buttons. So I think there's actually some guys who actually fire the guns are actually by each individual laser or something. But you don't want to be those guys because, frankly, you're going to be standing next to several billion rads of laser energy flying past you. I mean, let alone.
You've only got one good shot in you, really, haven't you? You walk up, your first day, you press it, and you go, one, 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 one. Okay, right, I'm starting to fall to pieces now.
Yeah, you fire it and your teeth fall out.
Oh, you're starting to cook from the inside.
You know, that reminds me. Didn't you guys talk about this on Black Dog, that Chinese movie when they move the whole earth?
Oh, with God.
That movie is just full of bad jobs. Like every job in that movie is horrific, right? Like they're just always in danger, or like the planet is literally moving through space. That was the most insane. I love that movie. I mean, I don't know if I would suggest it to anyone, but it's like, it's terrible, but it's also, I found it was just fascinated by everything about it. You know, it was so weird.
It was really weird, especially it's several hundred degrees below zero. You know, the whole Earth is frozen to the point where even the atmosphere is complete ice. And then it's like, I know, everyone just drive out and try and restart these mountain-sized engines. How many of them are there? Well, there's one pretty much every 50 yards on the whole south side of the planet. And then there's just like little tiny cars just racing out everything with job. It's just like,
and it was all, it was like the ultimate, because it was like a future where everyone's job is to have a job so they can continue the earth to have that job. It was the worst. And it was all grimy and messy, but they loved their grandpa.
They did.
They loved their grandpa. They respected their elders. That's very important.
Yeah. And on top, and even funnier was like, they're all doing this job and not a single one of them would ever be alive by the time the Earth actually arrived at its destination. And then they're only like 20 years into it. And they bear it in mind, you've got some planning going on there, but 20 years and they fall and they actually don't miss Jupiter. It's like, I think if I had 20 years, I could probably, even with a protractor and like a map, probably figure out where Jupiter is and possibly avoid it with a planet. But no, they fired straight at it, which was pretty impressive, really. Since, what was it, Pentium 90s? Didn't they have a mathematical thing where if you fired a tennis ball at the sun, you'd miss by about several billion miles? So, their computers upgraded.
What, the processors?
Yeah, they had a mathematical glitch that was out by some, like, a tiniest of fractions. And they illustrated it by saying if you fired a tennis ball directly at the sun, you'd miss by, like, 93 million miles because the fraction of error would just expand over time. So there you go. So if you were doing your taxes on your Pentium 90, you were probably wrong.
In comes Gus again, and they round off them little cents, don't they? And then he just puts them into a different account, and then he crosses them off himself.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, banks, having a job in a bank in a movie, you're either corrupt or you're about to get robbed and shot.
Yeah, not good. You're turning down someone's loan.
Yeah, exactly. Or you're ruining someone's life.
You're always sitting in the office, right? They walk in, you see the teller ahead, and then they look over. Oh, okay, I'm going to go over there. And then that person invariably always breaks their heart. Or tells them we're going to have to take the farm or the family restaurant or business, and you're going to have to get a car wash together to raise some money.
Yeah. We're giving you 48 hours or we foreclose on your business and we'll just take everything away, every single thing. Is there anything I can do? Absolutely nothing.
No and more laser tag in Everwood.
And on top of that, you know that that every single teller is being, every single bank clerk, teller, everyone is all dressed up in the same sort of like automaton suit. You know, they're sort of made to look as efficient and just generally dickish as possible. So, yeah, it's a great way to portray a job, isn't it? You know, come be a banker. You can ruin everyone's lives. Mm-hmm. Be a shit. Take their money.
I was just going to say that the manager always has to be a pedantic, white, bald guy with glasses who's in a really bad mood and his coffee is not right.
Yeah. And you can only refer to him in his surname. It'd be like, yes, Mr. Johnston. No, Mr. Johnston.
Exactly.
You can't call him Fred or whatever. You just have to go, no, Mr. Johnston. Yes, Mr. Johnston.
I think this is Gremlins we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's what popped in my head. You've got the customer of the Mrs. Deagle in Gremlins.
Yeah.
And then you've also got Michael Douglas in Falling Down.
Yep. That could really go wrong.
Well, that's where the guy behind... Do they use McDonald's or they just use their generic fast food store? But it's, it's not 11:30. It's 3 minutes past. He's like, no. How many times does that conversation happen nowadays now?
Mm.
It must have at least a dozen times because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was going to say, I'll tell you another job that's bloody awful, but everyone wants to do it. Astronaut.
Yeah, not fun.
Now, in
a lot of nausea.
In real life, with the exception of one or two disasters over the course of about, few disasters actually, over the course of about 50 years, nothing has happened to astronauts. Yet every time in films, someone goes up in a spaceship, you can almost guarantee something. The ship is going to break or explode or get hit by something or crash or they're going to spin off into space or...
Yeah. Or it's haunted.
Yeah, or it's haunted. It's haunted,
or there's an alien creature that...
Yeah.
They have no idea how it got there, even though it's an obviously they shouldn't have taken their helmet off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We've quarantine laws are in place for a fucking reason. You don't go down to an alien planet and go, smells nice down here, while this big black cloud of soot is just kind of wafting around you. That astronaut is a shitty job.
Yeah, you don't. That's bad.
Mm.
I'll tell you one that's in a lot of movies. You were talking about it before, I think a little bit teacher. I was a teacher.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, you were talking about student. So I was a teacher.
Mm.
And they do make it a lot more interesting than it really is. And it's really kind of boring. And you're just trying to get through the day. and the kids don't care. And yeah, and guess what? They don't want to be there. You're not going to inspire them. They're just there. I taught high school for 2.5 years. Almost drove me insane. In a room with no windows.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But and also everybody, all the administrative people are insane. Actually, that one movie got it right back in the day with Nick Nolte, teachers. I'm a teacher. Remember, and like the whole school went insane and there was like a riot at the end. That got it right. Everything else got it wrong. No stand and deliver when I was concerned. And there were definitely no dangerous minds. The kids were good. They just didn't care. You know what I mean? Like it's just boring is the basic thing.
So you weren't walking in and they were all, you're on your last day, as you walked out the door, and they didn't just all stand up on the table and go, "Captain, my captain."
No, nothing like that. You know, I still talk to a lot of those kids. They're good. They're good kids. But it was school. You know, it's school. Yeah. It's boring.
See, the ultimate school movie for me is Toy Soldiers.
Toy Soldiers.
Yeah. Oh, man. Step by step, heart to heart. Right? It's Toy Soldiers.
Yeah. Are you? Hold on. Toy Soldiers.
I'm singing the song.
Yeah, I know. Martika, man.
Yeah.
I had a crush. I had a crush.
That's the one you're talking about. You're not talking about the animated one, right?
No. The Sean Austin and Will Wheaton one.
Oh, which one's that?
Oh, it's from 1991. I forget who.
Oh, wait a second. Did he have some kind of remote control thing in it or something? I'm getting like visions.
Oh, is that Small Soldiers with Tommy Lee Jones, the voice of like a G.I. Joe?
No, that's the one I was thinking of, the animated one.
Yeah, no, that's Small Soldiers. I'm talking about Toy Soldiers. You must remember this, right? Okay, I'm going to put it in the chat room now. I'm going to put the IMDb in the chat room. Hang on a sec.
Hold on. Toy Soldiers.
Yeah, Toy Soldiers. All I've got is Martika.
The Martika one is when they're like, it's like 21 Jump Street kind of deal.
Oh, my God. Looking at it now. Sean Austin, Will Wheaton, Lou Gossett Jr. Oh, Lou Gossett Jr. Now.
Okay, I remember this. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Written by William P. Kennedy. Let's see.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I don't know who. Denham Elliott is in it. Denham Elliott was the headmaster.
Daniel Petrie directed it.
Yeah. Arlie Ermey was in it as well. Oh, my word.
Beverly Hills. Look at that.
Would you want to be a teacher in this school? I mean.
It wasn't that I wanted to be. It was just. You were talking about school movies, and that was the only one that really resonated with me.
Wait, is that the same one as the? Is that the Martika one?
Is that it?
Is it a different one? I thought it was a different one. Maybe it's the same one. Man, that whole time is just a blur to me. But look at Will Wheaton, man. Wesley Crusher with that look. He looks tough, man.
Where's
I had a friend that looked a lot like him named Mark Vanderelst.
Mark Vanderelst. Now, that name rings a bell, but I can't.
That's a nice name, right? I always thought he had a great name.
Yeah. Mark Vanderelst. Hold on. I'm trying to Google him while we're trying to try to fill the space. Hold on. Mark.
No, that was my friend.
Okay.
You know him?
No. You know who I was thinking? I was thinking of
Luther Vandross.
No. I was being a Mass Effect geek. You'll have to just forgive me. Forget it. Don't worry.
I love that game.
Yeah. Well, the guy, the original Shepard model. If you take the default one, he's called Mark van der Loo.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
He's a Dutch male model kind of character. But they used his face for the default model. And the name was ringing a bell when you said it. And I suddenly thought, I know this. And as I started typing in Mark Vander, and it suddenly popped up. And I'm like, that's where I got it. Yeah. Especially when you said, it's my friend. You can't Google him. You mad person chasing him down. Anyway, yeah. What was I going to say? Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a teacher in films at all. I mean, otherwise you end up in that. What was that Body Snatchers one? With
the Kevin Williamson one.
Yeah.
The faculty.
That's the one. Yeah, you wouldn't want to be in that, would you, really? I mean, you know.
Who directed that? What's his name direct that?
God, the faculty. I was going to say Del Toro, but I don't think that's the truth, is it? The faculty.
Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Robert Rodriguez. That was, I think, the last time that he
did a good film.
No, I think that was the last time he did like something where he didn't have really control over it. You know, he was kind of a hired gun.
Yeah, which kind of explains a lot.
Yeah, he makes all his movies like in his backyard now, right? He has like a green screen studio in Austin or something.
Yeah, and then just keeps making Spy Kids movies. When's he gonna stop? When would he ever stop? Just won't stop.
The billions roll in.
Yeah. What was the last one he did? What was the last film he did?
I think he did another since. Oh, he did Alita Battle Angel.
That was it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I've heard some people like it, and supposedly, what's his name, who's now going to be the new Blade, Mahershala Ali,
yes,
is supposed to be really good in that movie.
Well, he's good in pretty much everything. I think.
Yeah,
you could,
no, that doesn't. Yeah, it's true. It doesn't make it movie.
You can pretty much stick him in front of the camera reading the ingredients of a cornflakes packet. I think he'd be doing all right. But yeah,
it's not a good job, right? Vampire killer. It's like so limited. you spend all your time looking for vampires. It's just a lot of hunting, you know.
Yeah. And that's got to throw your biorhythms out. I mean, you know,
totally.
Constantly working in the night, you know.
Yeah, doing the night shift, raging.
Yeah, yeah. Seems fun, but it wears you down, and it's hard to have a family.
Yeah, you're always moving from place to place. Yeah. Never get to know anyone because they always get turned into vampires.
Right? You can't be say, honey, what's for dinner? I can't come home. I don't know. Something with garlic.
Why is it we only have garlic and blessed water? Why do we have to keep going to the local church to pick up some water? Can't we just turn on the tap?
I'm trying to make the pasta gravy and there's no garlic anywhere in the house. Can you?
Why do you keep melting down the family silver, for fuck's sake? We have to buy cutlery all the time.
Just plastic cutlery. Yeah. Disposable stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. You melted down the candlesticks years ago. Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing with a lot of these jobs, especially when they're portrayed in the films. You see them when they're at their most exciting, but they've got to have some bad days of downtime. Like, I mean, you know, being like in a judge in Judge Dredd. I mean, it's all super exciting, racing around going, or RoboCop, you know, constantly shooting the place up. But you never see like the days where RoboCop's just kind of trundling around and just handing out parking tickets. Or just telling people, just like, you know, you're doing traffic control. So it's sort of standing in the middle of the road. No, you stop. No, come on. Come forward.
Or software upgrade day.
Yeah. Just sitting there with a blue screen of death rolling across his eye and his screen.
It's just a beach ball just spinning. He's like, come on, just go away.
Yeah. But, you know, like you say, the vampire killer thing must be like really tedious because, you know, at best it's a job with a finite life, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. He's like, you know, so why is it you want to work at Starbucks? Well, I've been doing a vampire killing job for the last like 30 years and I killed the master and they've all died and I've got no transferable skill.
There's not really much room for advancement.
Not really. And it doesn't pay well, I can imagine. Mm, no. That's a lot of these jobs. You don't see them getting paid. I mean, how much you think you can earn as a vampire killer? I mean, really? I mean, unless you sort of take a job on the side at Rent-A-Kill or something, you know, kind of going around sort of staking rats individually in someone's house, or sort of.
You've got to get that job from someone who believes in vampires as well.
Yeah,
that's very niche.
It is. Yeah. It is one of those sort of self-starter freelance jobs, isn't it? You know, sort of
very self-starter. Yeah,
yeah. It's just like, well, what
I would
do?
Think, though. You know what? It's probably something you're born into.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in the case,
passed
like,
down through generations. You know, those kind of jobs. Those are hard jobs where you kind of have to do it.
Yeah,
and the vampire hunter and sons.
Yeah,
that is a theme in films, though, too. Where the person has to take the job, like the family job. They've got to do the job, and then the whole movie is about them escaping that job and by going to another job, which they're probably going to get sick of in 5 years, so then they can do a sequel. Tired of that job.
Yeah, Clerks was pretty much it, wasn't it? Yeah. You know, we leave one... Was it leave the job at the convenience store, and then when you catch up with them in Clerks 2, they're in like a McDonald's.
Yeah,
great work. But yeah, I mean, all those jobs given down by destiny, I mean, yeah, it's great and everything, but at some point you got to say, well, I got to eat, I need some food, I can't pay for this mortgage with, you know, exposure or you know, knowledge of a job well done. You know, hey, what did you... Yeah, if you don't make your payment for your mortgage, we're taking your house. Yeah, but I took out an entire coven. Right?
They just don't understand.
No, and then that bank manager again, Mr. Johnson, he'll be sitting there with his clipboard and his horn-rimmed glasses going, that doesn't pay the way. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
looking over the glasses at you. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Is there any other jobs that you'd like to throw into the mix? Because I feel that, you know, we're kind of hitting the end of this. I'm only saying that because I kind of need to take the dog out for a pee. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'll shout out one thing on a serious tip I was thinking about. I always like to mention it since my job was making movies and teaching people to make movies for so long. I would always tell people to watch The Stuntman.
The Stuntman.
Which I think is the best film ever made about making films. Without a doubt. And there's a lot of films that are made about making films. And in my estimation, like 90% of movies are just about making a movie. And they just transpose it to whatever the movie is about. But I think that The Stuntman is the best. I don't know if you've ever seen this film before.
Yeah, never seen it. I say that, but I probably have, but I don't recall it at all. I'll be honest with you. Who's in it?
Okay, so it is the guy who stars in it. You'll recognize most famously Steve Railsback for playing Charles Manson.
Hmm.
In the old, what was it, that ABC, I think it was, no, actually it was NBC miniseries. Peter O'Toole is in it, Barbara Hershey. And it's basically about this guy who just kind of wanders onto the set and becomes a stuntman. And I can't really, it's an esoteric film, but Peter O'Toole is a director, and it's just about obsession and film. And I think it's absolutely amazing. I love that film.
So, on a serious tip, check it out.
Yeah. Oh, I remember. I recognize Steve Railsback.
In the Soup. I just remembered. That's the DiCillo movie.
Oh. Callback.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yes. What?
He was in Life Force.
That's right. He was the guy who, the main astronaut who may or may not have been a vampire at some point. Yeah.
Oh God, I forgot that film was about bloody vampires.
I hate it when a science fiction movie is a horror movie. Aliens is different, right? But I get annoyed, and there's a recent thing of the haunted spaceship or whatever. Nothing annoys me more than that. It really annoys me. When I go into outer space, I want there to be a different dimension,
mm-hmm.
or something scientific. I don't want there to be this, like, people having visions and thinking they saw their dead wife in the ship with them. I just don't want to see that anymore. Just thought it's
But then just for good measure, if I was going to design a spaceship that was going into deep unknown territory of space, I wouldn't make it look like some kind of evil gothic cathedral with on every conceivable surface. Doesn't seem practical to
again
me,
you know. All these films have a common theme, all these jobs too, is really do not take into account mental health. Not really. Not ergonomic, and no mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going into the engine room of the Event Horizon, and I've been in there 3 times this week, and I've lost about a pint of blood on every single one of those pricks on the walls. and that's not including pricks in the control room. But that's just the crew. Anyway.
I still need to see that.
What, the Event Horizon? Cement Horizon?
Still haven't seen it.
Haven't you?
That's a good one.
Oh, God. That's bloody awful. I mean, speaking of places to work, I know Elton's got to take the dog out for a poo, but I have to say, worst places to work I could imagine would be somewhere like Men in Black headquarters.
Yeah.
Which... gotta be somewhere you really don't want to be working. I mean, you get your usual agents and everything, but if you think about it, all the agents that actually work in this are only named after the first letter of their name, so you can only have 26 of them. So that means that everyone else you see in Men in Black doesn't get to go out. They all stand around in a 60s retro aircraft hangar while aliens just come around and, I don't know, whiz all over them and just slime them and just generally be rude to them and act like customs officers.
Very chaotic. Again, with the mental health.
Exactly. You
know? HR is in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, no sunlight, constant stress. I mean, that's a health and safety nightmare. Everything's from the 60s, so, you know, doesn't particularly function well. Everything's white. Oh God, it's horrible.
Yeah. Gross. I'm gonna throw one last one out there then.
Go on in.
Tube driver in either Volcano or Predator 2.
Well, tube driver in just about any film, really.
Yeah.
I mean,
accidentally killing things.
Yep. Being chased by unknown things in the sewers and the tunnels. I mean, everything from Men in Black 2, which had that worm thing, Edgar, that would eat the back of the train, to to the taking of Pelham 123. I mean, yep. You don't want to be on a tube. Or that late night horror, gonzo horror called Creep. If anyone ever saw that with what's her name? Who's the one who was in Run Lola Run? I can't remember her name now. Franca Potenti. And she gets on the last train around the Circle Line, and she falls asleep, and the train just gets put in the sidings, and so she's left inside the train, and no one's checked, and so she gets off the train in the tubes, and then finds that there's like some weird thing wandering around. And a serial killer and some other stuff. It's not pleasant by any means.
Wasn't there a Mackenzie Crook film about, I think it was called One Under, where I think the premise of the film is you're either a train driver or a tube driver, and if you have 3 people jump in front of your train and you kill them, then you get paid off, you get... retired with the full pension from that day. And I think he's had 2 people, and I think they're trying to manipulate it so someone will try and do that in front of his train.
I don't know. I did not know that. I don't know that one at all.
That's bizarre. Who the hell came up with that?
Sounds a bit catch 22, to be honest. You know, that whole thing of, you know, if you can trying to get signed off, but no one's going to sign you off.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Yeah. I'd never heard of that. I'll be honest with you.
I'm sure it's Mackenzie Crook. I'm sure. I'm looking down his IMDb and I can't see it on there.
The wonky-eyed guy from Pirates of the Caribbean and the UK Office.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Detectorists. The one, by the way, the one I was going to say, one place you don't want to work or get any job ever, no matter who you are, is the Umbrella Corporation.
Ugh.
Now, that's not a place to work for.
No. No, you're in a lair underneath the ground and everything wants to kill you.
But you're actively developing something that actually makes things into other things that want to kill you.
Very stressful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as Paul W.S. Anderson constantly wanted to remind us with computer graphics, it's a lair that's so far underground it's like miles and miles underground. You know, you have to go on a tube. You have to go on a lift that is about a quarter of a mile deep, and it's underneath Raccoon City, which is in the middle of nowhere anyway. I mean, your commute's pretty shite. So, and then when you get down there, you've got a psychopathic computer trying to kill you. You've got viruses trying to kill you. You've got the most incompetent scientists messing about with the most lethal viruses known to man. And, you know, and on top of that, when everything shuts or goes wrong, then you get the security features trying to kill you as well.
Dice you.
Dice you up. It's like, yeah, there's not even an escape exit. There's not even a please come here if the fire alarm goes off. There's not even like just an assemble point.
No, you could be in the canteen just ordering coffee from the machine and all of a sudden like a laser beam starts heading towards you. Oh shit, hang on, no, cancel. Hot water I wanted.
Yeah. Oh shit. I've pressed the death beam. All I wanted was chocolate. Yeah. Umbrella Corporation has to be, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't go out of business like years ago. I don't know how they've managed. I mean, because like literally anyone who works for them is dead within probably about 2 hours usually.
Mm.
Whole facilities, whole towns on top of facilities. It's all gone.
Cool. Right. I think we'll draw it to a close there.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me for this. Thank you to everyone in the chat room as well who's helped us along our way. Axel, is there anything you'd like to plug and for everyone else to download and listen to?
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun. I hope to come on sooner than a year again.
Definitely.
I'm open for it. I like just chatting with you guys. And I guess over at DVR Podcast, we've got, we're doing, Heath and I are going to start covering Mindhunter soon. We just did Veronica. We're doing Veronica Mars. Ken and I are covering season 4 of Veronica Mars, and we did the whole thing. And I am actually covering something I've never done before, which is kind of fun. Bachelor in Paradise, the reality show with Sarah. We're covering that. We're having fun with that. We get to just go on for an hour and gossip and have fun talking about a silly reality show. But yeah, that's it. And Leah, it's been great talking to you, man. And I've always enjoyed listening to you. It's been great. So thank you both.
Oh, no, thank you. The pleasure's all mine, sir. Thank you. Been good.
No worries.
Been really cool.
Yeah. Lee, have you got anything you'd like to plug at all? You know, is there any shows that you do?
Yeah, there's this thing called the Black Dog. No, not at the moment. I'm not really doing much. I'm not on Twitter at the moment. I'm kind of a bit light on Facebook, to be honest. I do occasionally post up some of my artwork on Instagram, and you can see that on instagram.com/cartoonbeardy. Other than that, you know, one day the Black Dog will be back in some fashion, I imagine. And when it does, we'll plug it then.
But oh, definitely.
Until then, nothing. People still download it, though, which is kind of surprising. I checked the stats the other day. People actually still listen to it.
Yeah, the crazy thing about podcasts, let me tell you, man, I've been doing Game of Thrones and all this other stuff. Mm. And we cover Westworld. We started from the beginning with that one because I'm a hard sci-fi guy. I love it. I grew up, my favorite author of all time is Arthur C. Clarke.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't looked at the page even for like a year or something. I was just kind of uploading some stuff, but then I hadn't for a while, and the season 3 trailer came out. And then I went back and I looked, there's like 10 times as many people had downloaded all these old episodes. Podcasting's crazy, man. People like that evergreen stuff, like, and what you guys did where you were just, you want to listen to that show for your personalities and listen to you. Whether it was like timely doesn't matter. And then you talked about movies from all different you know what I mean? So trust me, the internet lives on, brother.
We will live forever. Yeah. Or at least until the money runs out for the lips in.
Until somebody gets the job of cleaning all the hard drives.
Oh, yeah. No.
Magnetizing them.
One day, all the incriminating evidence will just be thrown in a bucket of acetone. That will just be it. Just get rid of it.
And this podcast will be playing in the background as two robots just like work on the earth.
Yes. How was your day, Robot 462? My day was the same as yesterday, 462. Oh, yes. Fantastic.
Call me Elton now.
Yes. Yes. You know euphemisms. I do. Thank you for listening. That's it.
Nice.
Like 2048.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll draw this to a close then. So thank you to everyone who's listened on the Mixlr. You can go to rogue2media.com. We've got lots of shows there. We got Into the Expanse, Grand Prix Podcast, and the Shonky Lab over there as well. So please download all that stuff. Share the love. If you go listen to Axel's stuff, share it around. Give it ratings on iTunes or wherever they call it now, Apple Podcast, I think it is, all the places that you pick it out from. Share it around. That's the word of mouth is a powerful word. So, grab it, pass it around. You know, show it to your friends. They might like it. They might pass it on to someone else as well. So, that's all it is really, isn't it? It's a massive circle jerk that we all like to be part of.
Yep.
Are we back to fluffers again?
Yeah, we are.
There you go. Nice.
So, thank you to everyone who's downloaded this. Please share all the stuff, download it all, and we'll see you again next time. So please leave quietly. This is a residential area.